And he's going to call me and say, why did you ever give her permission to do that? Hit him over the head with the cosmic 2x4. Keep him going and never let him stop. It says in the Bible, the fields are white to the harvest now, but can we accept? Again, Jesus said, do you believe? Can you accept? Right now, I want you to get ready to accept a miracle. Now, hear me on this. I'm not preaching at you. This was the biggest thing for Chris Chenoweth to learn. Because I could always accept a miracle, but you know what? When I first entered ministerial school, I believed that yes, it would come, but for some reason, I believed it would come in the 99th hour and the 59th minute. As a last resort before I was to flail away into the darkness of the abyss. The fields are white to the harvest now. Now. So many people that I have counseled in 22 or so years of ministry, oh, they believe and they can accept, but they can accept down the road. They believe in linear human time. Oh, yes, when I do this and do this and do this and do this, oh, and do that, and that's going to take all those years, then I can have this. The fields are white to the harvest now. That's true in human mind. But what can you do with God? Go beyond. And you can achieve greatness in quantum speed, and nothing will hold you back at all. Another point that I want to say to you, and please, more than any, if I could stand on a chair and hold up my hand, I'd do this. I've had so many people receive incredible riches during this seminar, and then because they did not have the consciousness of it, it's like lotto winners that win big, and then in a year or so, they're in worse shape than they were before. Build your consciousness first. There was a man that attended this seminar, and he went to the horse race the next day and won $57,000, and then bought a race horse, and now is in, oh, Lord, the shape he's in. Consciousness. So, what am I asking you to do? When you have an abundant demonstration from God, and boy, at a group this size, if you have any kind of meetings afterwards, you'll be shocked with how many miracles have happened. Do me a favor. Don't buy anything for 30 days. Put the money in the bank. You know, Bible your desires. Here's what I mean. If you want to buy a new car or whatever, just put it in the Bible. Say, you know, I really want this car. That's fine. Write it down, put it in the Bible, but don't buy anything for 30 days. Let it test out over time to see if that's really your passion and your desire. And in the meantime, keep working on your consciousness. So the worst thing that I could do, because I'm here to make your life better, not worse. And if you get a taste of this, and but then blow it, you're going to be down further than you were before. Now, after 400 plus cities, I didn't used to say this to folks, but I do now. And it's an important, important aspect of the overall training. Okay. In your walk up, you're not going to stop climbing. And there's only one way, and that is to form a partnership with God. I'm going to ask you to form a partnership. In the early 1890s, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore formed a partnership with God. And I want you to also do that in your career. Where you'd ordinarily face it on your own, starting tomorrow, you are not applying for a job, Patricia. You and God are applying for a job. With God as the first partner. And the rest of your life, every time you go into work, it's going to be God and you going into work. You are going to form a partnership in every aspect of your life and bring that into demonstration. While they're handing that out, let me tell you a quick story. It is 6 o'clock. Give me just a couple minutes more, and I swear I'm going to go like a machine gun on you and finish this up. But I have to wait until they hand out this before I hand out the next. There was a man that had a dream of opening a dry goods store, which in those days, in like the 1890s, was a department store in a small town. And so he borrowed money from all of his relatives and from his wife's relatives. Finally, he had the money to open up that dry goods store, and he stood out front very, very proud. And it was called Mr. Taylor's Dry Goods. And he stood there, and he just knew that he would be successful, but the success didn't come. The customers were few and far between. And when he did have a customer, often they would just look around and say, "You know, Mr. Taylor, the dry goods store in the next town has more merchandise and a little bit better pricing. We're going to keep trading with them." One day, when he realized that he was facing bankruptcy, he prayed, getting down on his knees. Now, this was a monumental thing for Mr. Taylor to do because he wasn't a religious man up till that moment. He got down on his knees and he said, "God, I need your help. I absolutely don't know what to do. I'm going to go bankrupt, but it's not so much me, it's all my friends and my relatives and my wife's relatives. Help me, God." And he prayed and he continued to pray, half an hour, an hour, and he began to feel blissful as he prayed. He began to have the burdens lifted from him. Nothing happened in the outer, but he felt better. He finally said amen, got up, started to dust his merchandise. And this is what happens. Ideas started to come to him. Ideas about how to run a dry goods store. Now, during his prayer, he said, "God," he said, "I don't know how to do this. I'm blowing it." Oh, he didn't use those words. That's paraphrased again. He said, "You know, help me. I don't know. You know, give me ideas." Well, God started to give him ideas, and he did what, if any of you were at the morning service, Mike did in that story. He argued with God. He was getting crazy ideas from God that have never been done before. He said, even verbally one time, "God, you certainly don't know how to run a dry goods store." He remembered his bargain, though, that he wanted to make God the boss. He said during his prayer, he said, "God, take over. I want you to be the boss. I want you to be my partner, God, and not a silent partner. You be first partner. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it, whatever you say." And every time he got an idea, he argued and fussed and complained. But then he remembered that he was no longer the boss. And he followed through on every idea that God gave him. And now when you shop in any major city and shop at Lord and Taylor's department store, there is no Mr. Lord. That's the first partner, God. I want it to be Lord and you going into your life, and to know that you're going to receive those ideas, and oh, they'll be crazy. Sure, they're crazy, because any idea that's not already in the phylum of your human mind seems crazy, because you haven't thought of it already, and it's foreign to you. But just be willing, and remember what I said about job opportunity? Those job opportunities, the biggest ones, will seem crazy, like an internet ministry. I tell you, that was about as crazy to me as any idea that's ever come. Now, I'm going to hand out the 30-day agreement with God. Let me keep one of these and go over it. And there you are. The 30-day personal agreement of what I've asked you to do. Now, up at the top of this, I have something that I haven't asked yet because I leave this till last. Because if I did it in the beginning, I'd lose all of you, it'd break. I'm going to ask you to tithe 10% over the next 30 days to your spiritual source. For most of you, it's this church. Now, this is huge. Most of us go to a prosperity seminar to talk to God like we talk to Santa Claus. Give me, give me, give me, give me. But the law of life is giving first, then you'll receive. It's like if I go up to a coal stove on a cold day and I'll say to that coal stove, listen here, coal stove, you give me heat first, then I'll give you coal. It doesn't work that way. I have to give first to the coal stove of the coal, then it gives me heat. Many of us go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. If we're going to play ball, we need to throw something back. Now the law is, now here's the good part, that the Bible promises every tithe has a, do you know what the return is on a tithe? It's 100%, folks. 100 times. 100 times. Not 10. A tithe is a tenth, 10%, and it returns back 100. It's the whole law of the universe. You plant a seed in the ground, you get 100-fold return. And it's the same way with God. Now, when I first was in ministerial school, I went to Martha Judici. I know you're a strong Unity group. Probably some of you that have been around Unity for a long time remember that name. She was the minister of the Unity Village Chapel at that time, and I was a new ministerial student, and I said, Martha, I am just in serious financial trouble. The lights are getting ready to be turned off at my place. I have a young baby. I just don't know what to do. Now, here's what I expected from my minister. I expected her to hug me and say, oh, you poor baby. I feel your pain. Let me just rock you and take away your pain. Martha didn't say that at all. She folded her arms and she looked at me and she said, Chenoweth, are you tithing? Now, I won't tell you what I said inside of my mind at that point. I said, I've been waiting. This place is just like every other religion that I always want my money, don't they? She said, come back and see me when you're tithing. Well, I'm the most stubborn cuss that has ever been around. I thought, I'll come and see you when I'm tithing. Well, I got to the point down so low that in about 6 months, I decided, well, what the heck, I'm broke anyway. I'll try tithing. I started to tithe, and within a week, the ministerial school called me in. They said, it's been the funniest thing. Boards of directors from around the country have just selected your name out of the blue, they said. And they've decided to start tithing to you. I was the richest second year ministerial student that went through the school. I was able to become president of the class because I didn't have to work. I'm telling you, folks, I can't afford not to tithe. Either God's real or God's not. Either this works, but again, you're here on a free will basis. You have to give first to receive. And it works. I had a soloist. Many of you will know who I'm talking about. His name was Gary Holcomb. He was also an actor, and he came back to the green room, which you've got here. I had it at Unity Village, and he said, all right. He said, you're a good friend of mine. I've never gone in much for this tithing stuff, but here's the deal. Because you're my friend, I'm going to start tithing, even though I don't want to. I'm going to do it. And if I tithe, here's the deal. He says, every year my agent sends out publicity photos, and no matter what I do, no matter what we do, we always end up getting 13 television commercials, but that's good. With that money, that's mad money, and I use it on hobbies and things like that. If I tithe, could I expect more? I said to him, I said, well, Gary, I don't know where it will come from, but it will come. So he started to tithe, and immediately his agent quit, which meant that he didn't have any publicity photos going out at all. And he said, well, he said, this tithing thing really works, doesn't it? That year, without any publicity photos going out, he received 33 television commercials, 4 national accounts, the starring role in the TV miniseries Truman, and several others that I can't bring to my mind right now. He made enough money to buy a home on the Plaza area, which is the most luxurious in Kansas City, and pay cash. There was only one difference. It was tithing. Charles Fillmore said that when we say we can't afford to tithe, that's a poverty thought that only begets more poverty. Tithing causes the desert of your life to bloom like a rose. Spiritual giving begets spiritual receiving. I absolutely now cannot afford not to tithe. I love to tithe. I get giddy and excited about tithing. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. That's a mistranslation. You know what the real one is? God loves an hilarious giver. Now, let me define that for a minute. Let's say you and I are going across I-10 and we're going to the casino tonight after we stop here. And I know the casino owner, and he has set every machine to pay forth a 100-fold return. Now, my friend, we would not be cheerful in the car. We would be giddy. We would be singing the songs that we knew from youth. Charles Fillmore said, there's nothing that keeps a person's mind so fearless and free to receive the good that will constantly come to you as the practice of tithing. There was a man that came to the seminar one day, and he tithed for the first time. He was a lawyer, and he tithed $1,500 that day to the church because he had a high income. But he also stood up and astonished his wife. He said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I'm one of the most successful attorneys in town, but I hate it. Always have. Well, his wife was sitting there with her mouth wide open and said, I became a lawyer because my dad wanted me to become a lawyer. I never wanted to become a lawyer. I want to become an artist. Can you pray with me that I'll be an artist? And his wife's saying, no. Don't do this. His name was Terry Stoddard. I prayed with him that he could go after his passion, and he was receiving an advertisement through a miraculous thing that Salt Lake City was looking for artists to paint a mural at the convention center. And of course, that's the Marriott family. And so he, along with probably 1,000 other artists, went to Salt Lake City, and his portion of the mural was like a letter, 8.5 by 11. He painted it. The family kept looking at it. They commissioned him to do the mural at the convention center in Salt Lake for the 2002 Olympics. He received $20,000 for that. The Marriott family liked it so much they hired him on a 5-year contract to live in the 5-star resorts around the world and paint similar murals in the most exotic places on the planet, full time. And that's what he's doing now with his family. And his wife now is very, very happy. In Malachi 3:8-10, it says, will a human rob God? And it says, yes, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this. The only place that it says prove me. Also, God doesn't curse. We curse ourselves. The one thing in the Bible that's talked about over and over again is hoarding. If ever you're holding on to something, you cause it to die. If you release and plant your seed with the abundance that you have, you're going to have more. You know, if I was told by God what I was facing in doing this ministry that I'm doing now, sending out 600,000 plus emails a day, do you know those emails cost me a dollar per thousand? Do you know how much that adds up to at the end of the month? It's one of the most expensive ministries to run on the planet. You wouldn't think so, but it is. Everything costs. And yet God provides. I don't even have to worry about it. There's going to be a way, and it's going to come to pass. So I'm asking you to tithe. Now, I have said to you that I wish that I could go home with you. I wish that I could police you. But I'm going to be just a second before I... Well, no, I'm not. That's going to take longer. Let me take one and give you all the rest. You know how you can tell a unity person, even a closet unity person? You go home and look on the front of their refrigerator. If they're a unity person, they've got affirmations and everything stuck all over it. If they're a real closet unity person, you go into their personal bathroom, and all over the mirror you'll see stuff. So, I have made something, because I can't go home with you, called the refrigerator policeman. You put it up on your refrigerator, and every single item for the next 30 days that I have asked you to do, you're going to check off on a daily basis. You're going to read every sheet daily. You're going to do the prayers on every sheet daily. You're going to, first of all, place God first in your life. People wonder, what does that mean? Well, you're not going to think about any worries or anything. You're going to be thinking, hey, with God, this is a possibility. You're going to say, I am God's rich child 100 times in the morning, then a check off for 100 times in the evening. Your financial declaration, 3 checks. Your journal on stretching, 1 check. 10 minutes on plenty, 1 check. 30 days of clutter-free. You're going to work on that every day. At the end of 30 days, if your sock drawer isn't the cleanest drawer in the house, a half an hour on your forgiveness list before bed. You're going to work on your goal sheet, your bliss list, your life master plan in pencil. You're going to work on your debt sheet and receiving payment sheet every day. You'll also be working with your prayer partner in this. Your prosperity agreement that I just gave you, the 30-day prosperity agreement, reading it over in detail to keep you on track. You're going to pray with your prayer partner once by phone at least. Meditation, you're going to do that 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, and you're going to tithe. Now, I put tithing first because in West Texas, there is a saying, if you have 14 frogs to swallow, you better swallow the big one first. Yes, I want you to spend, and this is something I've been a little taxed on time. I don't know. It's just your group. It's just a wonderful, wonderful group, and I've ad-libbed a lot. I want you to spend, meditation is listening to God. I want you to be like Mike in that car and just spend 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night. Now, I hear you right now. Tomorrow, you're going to be fussing and your subconscious mind is going to scream. You're going to say, how in the world can any human being do this? Let me read you the last part of this seminar, and this is the most serious. Now, again, after doing this in 419 cities, I'm speaking with authority. I know what works. You lose with potential, my friends. You win with performance. The universe doesn't respond to your potential. It responds to your performance. This is nothing more than a fun intellectual exercise unless you practice it. Practice the presence of God. You do the possible and believe God for the impossible. You agree with God to start this tomorrow morning. If you say to yourself, you know, making excuses, well, this is not a good day for me. I would rather start on Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, oh, I didn't sleep well last night. Nope, 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 nope. I'm just going to wait until Wednesday morning. You wait over 48 hours, you'll never start. You're going to start tomorrow no matter how you feel. And you're going to drudge through it. And you're going to have a prayer partner. And those that do not have prayer partners in here or an idea of a prayer partner, I'm going to ask you to come down front at the end of this seminar and just see if you connect with someone. And you may and you may not, but you'll find somebody, because I know and I pray that God will send you the special person that you're looking for. Now, I've got my hand up really high. I know the percentage that will have success. Nationwide in 419 places, the success of this seminar, where people totally change their lives and become super prosperous, you know what the percentage is? 34%. Well, it is big, but it's a lot lower than I want. Do you know what defines the 34%? They actually do the process. Even when they are saying, and everyone, you know, there is going to be a seminar someday where I bring in graduates to speak. Everyone will tell you, oh, Lord, I wanted to stop. I just thought this sheet was so silly. You know, this doesn't mean anything. I'll just skip this part. This doesn't mean anything. If I was to say, you can have it, permanent prosperity is yours, but you can't. You can't. You can't. You can have it, you can't. Why, you would crucify me alive. Because I would be condemning you to stay like you are. I would be putting you in a prison that is unfair, that no human being has the right to do, and you don't have the right to do it to yourself. It is time to stand up in your spirituality, and it's time to prove this thing called God or dismiss the whole thing. God's real, folks. God's with you, and all you have to do is go along. You know, they told me years ago in ministerial school that 80% of success is just showing up. Show up for this. I don't want, especially in a great ministry like this, one of the greatest in the history of our movement, I don't want you to fail. I want you to get it. Can you imagine? You know, people talk about Houston, Texas with Enron and all that. If just the people in this room, if every one of you, not 34%, but 100%, changed your lives, you would permanently change Houston. Permanently. And you'd permanently change this ministry. There will be miracles that happen in this room that you can't even conceive of. As I said, in the first opening remarks, some of you will have prosperity demonstrations within 24 hours. You'll go to your mailbox and something will happen out of the blue. I want you to keep going. I'm talking to you tougher than I do an ordinary group, because you're not an ordinary group. If just 34% of you get prosperous out of today, I'll feel like we've failed, because you're so great. Boy, it is so easy to see your potential from up here. You know, Teddy Roosevelt was highly criticized one time, and there's a show coming on TNT about him, because he saw a newsboy on the streets of New York, and he went out as president after watching that boy from inside the hotel for a little while, and he took off his top hat and he bowed to him, and the press just tore him apart. How can the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, bow to a newsboy? And he said, because I saw the potential in him. And even if you can't see it in you, I see it in you. And if you do this process, I speak with authority, it works. It will change you. It will take you places you can't even imagine. God is constantly whispering something in your ear. Do you know what God is whispering in your ear? It is, surprise yourself. Surprise yourself. Surprise yourself. God bless you, everyone. Go out there and knock them alive.